WHXS Mobile listening.
Dave Gix, how are you today, Dave?
Oh, what's shaking? You don't sound all that noisy. You're not working today?
Truck, today is my office day right now.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you had an office day. Okay. Excellent. I'm doing good. I just done with one customer. I'm going to pop to the house real quick and get to another customer by 3 o'clock, get them fixed, and go back to today's customer and finish up with them. Had to order a part.
There's no noise on this right now because I got it set up on crossband repeat up here at the house for my Inwood to my HT.
No, there's no noise per se. It's just a little bit of white noise, and but it's real low. You're 110% readable.
I'm sure it's making it in okay.
What radio are you using for crossband repeat? We going on 440 transmit on VHF? What radio are you using?
810GA.
Oh, I think my 2730 will do it also. But I don't have a UHF radio. I don't have a UHF handheld. No.
Let's just get on Amazon and buy you one.
Particular about my HTs, it's got to fit my hand. Some of these ones are so doggone small, and I can't see the screens on the son of a guns.
That's called old age, Dave. W2T Mobile.
Did you hear some noise on there, Patrick? I don't know. I thought I got some interference there.
Good morning to Rusty, and he beat me to it is all there is to it.
Oh, you son of a guns. Okay. Good morning, Rusty.
Good morning, Patrick. Good morning, Dave. I was listening to you earlier this morning. I was just busy doing things on the computer at home. And got to take my car out to where I got an appointment for Sunday for them to put new rotors and pads. Oh, well, I've got 188,000 miles on it, so and I don't think it's ever had anything done like that to it. So, you know how that goes. Of course, the first place I got to stop is up here at the gas station, and that's going to hurt. Go ahead, Patrick.
The fuel station 3 times this week. That really hurt.
Not too much. I don't drive that much anymore. I only leave the house only if I have to.
Third stop this week. I gassed up before I left Tuesday. Gassed up when I got up there before I left Wednesday coming back, and gassing up today. So this will be my third time this week myself. So at least I get reimbursed somewhat for it since I was traveling for the barbershop group, and this is a track up to look at facilities for the next convention. So they at least pay my hotel and pay me mileage and cover a little bit on my food. So it's not a total out-of-pocket expense, you know.
That's excellent. Well, gentlemen, I'm gonna bow out here. I'm almost home. I gotta make a quick phone call before I get there. Patrick, go ahead and pick it up. KO4HKX. Enjoy your paperwork day. And Rusty, over to you. Well, actually, Patrick, over to you. KB2HXS.
Dave, and I just sent you a picture of that mic on my 706 so you can figure that out. I'm sorry I forgot to do that earlier.
No worries. I appreciate that. It didn't come through yet, but I'll get it. Thank you so much. You guys have a good day. KB2HXS cleared out.
Have a good one. W2T Mobile. Go ahead, Patrick.
Did you say you were out doing today? I missed that.
Well, I got to go on a couple. I'm just running a couple errands. I'm going to go put gas up the car and got to go buy groceries and go pick up some medicine and just a couple of other items I need to pick up around in different places. So things that just need to get done, being I have been out of town for a couple of days, I got to get caught back up.
What little time away will get you behind.
I have been trying for about a week to get with you. Did I hear you say last Saturday that you were going to eat crawfish over?
What?
We're going to eat crawfish.
Wasn't me.
I must have misunderstood what you said. I was wanting to see if there was another restaurant around that serves crawfish, but yeah, I must have misunderstood you. K4 CHY, go ahead, Patrick.
I'll leave with you guys for a few minutes. I'm here. I got to pump gas. W2T.
Now, Keith, what you out doing today?
Kind of working. My last day of the week, I guess. Yeah, I just heard Rusty in here, and like I said, I must have misunderstood what he said before, but I like Cajun food, and I know of there's a place over on Pelham Road just above the interstate called the Lost Cajun that's pretty good, but always on the lookout for anything else, over.
He loves Cajun food. I can eat it, but it's not my favorite thing.
I'm not a native, but I lived in Baton Rouge for a while and kind of grown accustomed to it. And I cook Cajun food periodically, but boy, it tastes so much better when somebody else cooks it for you.
Truth for anything, isn't it?
Buddy, we used to eat out a lot pre-COVID, and yeah, once the COVID hit, it was time to start cooking at home again, or, well, really for the first time, cause we ate out a lot, and, yeah, just nice to be able to go in and sit down and order and just wait for the food to show up.
That, you can have a conversation, and you ain't got all the cleanup afterwards.
See. That Lost Cajun.
Pretty impressed for, you know, being in South Carolina. I have been disappointed in the jambalaya a couple of times, but I think it was just, it's been sitting there a while. But their gumbos are usually real good. Their red beans and rice are good. I hadn't had crawfish yet, but probably going to venture down that road before too long.
I like the gumbos. Some of the stuff's a little too hot for me, but I can't take the hot stuff anymore. They used to have a good chicken gumbo that wasn't too hot, and it was good, and I like their beignets. And their catfish is pretty diggum good. I like the catfish pulpoise they do, and some of the other ones. It's just a... If you go during lunch there, they have a wing and a half of po' boy and a cup of some type of gumbo. I don't know how much it is now, but it's pretty reasonable. And they had crawfish there. I know they put on a good one, but, you know, people have told me that we haven't been to one downtown. We've been to the one out there at Pelham. So I can't talk about the one downtown. Well, that Pelham's pretty good, but it can get real crowded in a hurry. Go ahead, Patrick.
I've never been to either one of them, so, like I said, I'm not a huge fan of the Cajun because I just don't like real spicy food.
K4CHY. It's, I guess, an acquired taste. I don't like, you know, like buddies at work, they're all into the super hot peppers and stuff, and I just cannot handle that. But as far as anything hot, really, Cajun food included. If I can sit there and eat it and just get to where it's almost breaking out of sweat on my eyebrows, that's perfect for me. But yeah, Jerry, I just recently found out that they had a downtown location, which would be closer for me to go to. I can't imagine they do get pretty crowded pretty quick, especially on, you know, weekends when I'd be over there. But yeah, living over here now, I don't get over that way much, but when I do get over that way, I definitely hit the Lost Cajun. Last time I was over there was to pick up this radio from Dave, and that was part of the motivation of going and meeting him over there, was so I could pick it up and just head straight to the Lost Cajun afterwards. Over.
Daughter and son-in-law had been to one downtown, and they thought it was really good. They like hotter foods. I'm
I'm not to the extreme of one side or the other. I like mine a little medium warm, but if it starts choking me or something, I just can't take it. But like you say, if it makes the top of my head sweat, it's not too bad, but it's just some of this stuff is just, yeah, I guess I would determine, you know, being hot for just being hot, you know, adding flavor is one thing, but, you know, sometimes you put so much heat in it, just you know, I just can't. If it makes your lips burn, it's too dang hot. But I was thinking about that. Had been in a while, and that's making me hungry. I might have to, I got to head over that way by lunchtime. Meanwhile, I have to stop by there, either there or the, or Pimini's or the Earshot Sushi Place, one of the three. Any one of those three would be good. But Pelham is just a little bit further out for us to go to. But I can't take it when it's too hot, though. You know, chicken wings or otherwise.
That radio you got, was that the 700 from Dave?
Yes.
You telling him the other day that you got the Sky Command working on it?
I have a, I think that works with the TS-2000, I believe. I don't have a TS-2000. I got a paper set up on it.
I thought you was talking about the Sky Command. I didn't know if it had that or not, because I got the other one of those radios.
Roger that. I knew there was two of them, and I'd seen where somebody got the first one, and I didn't realize I'd seen that, I guess, you had got it. And then I was looking back at the list and seen that they actually had another one, and so I went on ahead and bought it. But, yeah, it does have the Sky Command on it, but I don't have a use for it, not having a... I believe it only works with the TS-2000, is that correct?
That with the, I think it's the TH-6F handheld, to control it also.
K-20 handheld, 20K handheld, but we don't think you use it with that too.
Yeah, that's the only Kenwood radio I've got now, so I looked at around at the... whatever the current model of the HDs are, but, man, they want a lot of money for those things.
Version isn't too expensive. You can find those. That's a good radio, too. And I think it's got everything in it. I know that when I had a 710, the 710 I had, Keith, was, you know, past a certain ceiling number, the Sky Command was dropped on it, and mine was too new to take advantage of. That was really the only setup of that in the 2000, I guess. I only set up where you could actually do a control operator type thing with it and turn it on and off, that sort of thing. I'm not correct. Patrick, you may know more about that having another 700 than I do, but I'm thinking that's correct.
From the research I have found, I bought the 710 GA so that I could try to use the Sky Command, because I have one of the little Kenwood HTs, and that's what I was wanting to do with it. Well, then I found out after a certain serial number, they took it out. And that's why I was wanting to know if it was in that 700, Keith. That way, because I have the other one of those, and I could use it with it.
It's there, so, yeah, you might want to pull the 700 out. What is the 710, what is the G? Has that got GPS built into it? What's the significance of the GA, over?
The GPS is built into the head unit, so you can run your APRS without having to have a separate GPS.
Gotcha. I kind of figured that's what it was. I'd probably look at getting one of those eventually. The 700 doesn't have one built in. It's just got a port for the old white Garmin. And I could probably rig up something to make it work with one of the little E-Blox GPS units or something, but I hadn't dug into it lately. Anyway, I got to get back out of here and go work a little bit more. And all the talk of the Lost Cajun got me a little hungry. Yeah, Jerry, I've got plans for Saturday. I'm supposed to help a friend of mine program a DMR radio for a buddy of his, but I may have to head over that way Sunday. I'm bacheloring it this week, so, yeah, that'll that'll be a nice Sunday activity is to head over there and get some Cajun food again. Anyway, guys, good talking to you. We'll catch you a little later. K4CHY, I'll be clear.
KHY, you have a good afternoon, and I'd like to talk to you more about the DMR stuff when you have more time. So we'll try that again later. KO4HK, 73s. And Jerry, I'll be around for a few more minutes.
Okay, talk to you again later today, probably, but tell you guys have those 700s and 710s. Those are great satellite rigs, too, for the FM satellites. They're full duplex. That's a good rig to use. And that Sky Command is pretty daggum handy from what I've seen of it. I just, Patrick, like you, when I bought a 710, I thought it would have it, and mine didn't have it either. Mine was just too new. It's kind of disappointing because you could do that, you could do crossband repeat with it and do the full control operator situation and turn it on and off, which is part of that thing, and CWID and all that deal. Anyway, I'll keep up. Good afternoon. And Patrick, I did one thing. You sure sounded good on your bass rig. You said the audio is great and it sounds perfect to me.
Right now, I'm outside spraying Roundup on weeds on my HT crossbanded back to one of those 710 GAs.
I'll be going to lunch here about noon, so if you're still around, I'll give you a holler when I go to lunch.
Roger that.
Got the email on that. I wasn't sure if that was the correct one you were talking about or not, but I'll put that one down on my calendar for January.
That's it. I'm going to do the same thing. K4CHY, clear.
Things about that 710, is it still got it in the menu? If they were going to take it out, why didn't they just take it out?
I'm not 100% sure, but I'd be willing to bet you a dollar to a donut hole that thing has got a... I bet you this got some type of firmware change in it, because that's the way they do all these radios now. They do firmware changes software-wise. I bet it's not a hardware change at all. I bet it's a firmware change. It's very possible that if somebody else had an older 710, that they might be able to clone that firmware and put it, you could try it. You could ask around to people that have experience with them. It's possible you could retrograde that firmware and have it work, because that's all, nine-tenths of the time these menu systems all are just software and firmware-based. They're not hardware-based, I don't think. But it may be a proprietary type thing. But they stopped it, I think. I think they stopped it. So many people doing crossband repeat, they didn't actually have control of the, you're supposed to be able to turn the radio on and off remotely. I mean, that's if you want to be 100% technically accurate about the way the rules read, you should be able to turn the radio, in other words, if the radio gets stuck or something, or you're somewhere remote, you're supposed to have some type of control of the radio to be able to turn it off. And, with the Kenwoods, how they crossband, how they CWID, some of those radios you can turn it off of, and some of them you can't. And that makes a difference, I think, too. But that was a handy feature. It was really popular. Crossband repeat is a lot more popular some years back than it is now, because there's just not that many radios that a lot of radios do it, but they don't do it, they'll do it, but they don't do it according to the rules 100% correctly, if you catch what I'm saying, I hope.
Talked about that with the ID5100, and I still haven't got the 710 to throw out my call sign, but I'm working on that. That's why I'm having the ID on everything now.
One of the things with the 710 is the that thing, sometimes if you get it turned on, it'll CWID in both directions, which is not a problem. I don't think, if I remember correctly, when I had mine set up, it's not a problem as long as you don't get into some type of linked repeater system, and that's when it becomes a problem.
In some older YouTube videos on how to set it up, And that's what the first thing every one of them mentions, don't get on a linked repeater system.
Yeah, I mean, the way the wording is on the rule, if Dave's listening, I know he knows it better than I, but the way the rule is you have to have permission from the repeater trustee in order to do it. And when you get into a link system, all those repeaters are ID'ing across the system, and it's bad enough when they're all linked up together anyway, and when you add a CWID coming back to your handheld and from your handheld to the 17, from the 17 to the other repeater system, it just really kind of clutters the system up. But I don't know if that's the right terminology to use or not, but you start hearing CWIDs all across the system, and you're not the other repeater trustees may or may not want them on. I know the guys that run the Skywarn net, one of the nets here in the area, he does not want, crossband repeat on his system just because of that.
And that, but if you could get it just to auto ID on the simplex side, that would be the main thing, because it's only going to key up the other when you're talking. That would be a big help.
If you could get this CWID in one direction only, I mean, normally you're in control of the radio. And with that Sky Command, you're actually, I mean, that'd be 100% legit, good way to do it, Sky Command, because you actually can turn the radio on and off. And that's part of the rule section. I think a lot of people, it's confusing a little bit, but you still have to be able to turn the radio on and off, and that's all I know about it. I don't know if that's, technically if that's the, they wouldn't come against you or anything like that, but technically you have to be in control of the radio, and in order to do that, you have to be able to turn it on and off. If you go down to the letter of the rule. But again, most people, it's not enforceable to amount to anything, and it's not generally an issue. But it does, because I think crossband repeater originally were just, they were mainly designed for people that had bases or had high power mobiles, and they could, communicate between the base and high power mobile instead of going through where there wasn't a repeater system available, if that makes sense.
And like I said, I just use mine when I'm close here at the house, so that's all I'm doing with it. That way I can keep my HT with me, and I'm still, I can be at my radio in 30 seconds.
Like that, it's just that, some people used to, I know back in the 90s, in the mid-90s, when it became real popular, when it became available, people would set them up in their houses, set them up with a, 50-watt dual-band radio, and just use it, when they're riding around in a mobile and or on the handheld, and all the time I ever used it on handheld, but some of the other guys I know had them mounted up on towers, and it's almost like his own little mini repeater system, and I think that's where some of the issues came into play. For instance, if a radio got stuck in the transmit position, how would you, at times, itself out? Or if it's timed a repeater out continuously, that would be a problem. But being close by, I just don't. I mean, it's technically, it's in reality, it's not a big issue.
Well, because I'm still technically in control of my radio, because I'm right here. I'm not that far away. But you never know.
Second thought. Just like I said, there was some circumstance where I think people were doing that, and it just causes more heartburn on link repeater systems because of the CWIDs. And some, the one of the things too is and it's always been interesting to me is that the ICOMs, they generally don't have much delay at all in them. You can't tell. For instance, even the ICOMs in the kiln with both of those radios, you don't hear a delay in them at all. And some of the Yazoos, sometimes you can hear it, depending on how old the radio is, you get a little bit of a delay in it. Sometimes they can tell that you're on crossband repeat, but with keywords and icons, you, 9 times out of 10, you can't tell.
The third person today that I've talked to that didn't know I was on it, so that's pretty good for me there. But I did set up a CTS transmit and receive on my Simplex side so that nobody could just stumble in and get on it.
That's always a good idea. Decode, encode, and decode works great. And they generally won't stop along to your frequency. Yeah, they do it by accident, maybe, but yeah, that way that protects, that keeps somebody else from getting into your mobile rig. Your 710, I guess.
That's what it's meant for. That way, nobody. I mean, technically, you could access it. It's not going to stop you. But you're going to have to hunt that CTS tone up and down. So it's going to slow you down, and it's going to make it, most people ain't going to know how to do it anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. You might be, but I know my conversations aren't interesting enough for anybody to listen to. Want to get that much trouble to find out what I'm talking about.
Well, it's the same way with mine. I mean, I'm just having a general conversation. If you want to know what it is, just ask me. I'll tell you. It's not that exciting.
But, yeah, I was... Keith was talking about that tech fest in Gwinnett. It's in Gwinnett Tech in the Atlanta area over there at Gwinnett Fairgrounds. It's usually in January. They didn't have it the last 2 years, and that's got area amateur radio things, and they got all kinds of other stuff, other technologies there, too. And he and I were talking about that earlier this morning, and they are going to have it for 2023, but they haven't had it the last 2 years. But, yeah, that's a little far for you, and it don't last 9 to 2, but it's what all I've seen on YouTube videos. So this got some good stuff kind of concentrated into one day, but it's, that'd be a haul for you to get there.
One more time, I missed the name of it.
TECHFEST, all one word, and I think it's sponsored by Gwinnett Tech, which is on the Lawrenceville side of Atlanta, Lawrenceville and Buford and Duluth, and they have one. They had one every year for a number of years. They didn't have it the last 2 years. It's like amateur radio clubs, kind of like a ham fest, but it's got more technology stuff there than just ham stuff. And they talk about a lot of things like D-Star and using Raspberry Pis and. Parks on the air and Summits on the air. Oh, some of the more unusual radio activities.
HKX, that's something I'd be interested in. And if it's on a weekend or something like that, I'd definitely try to make the trip down there. Or if I knew in advance, I could take a day off. But yeah, I'd like to go to something like that.
It's on Saturday. It's on Saturday, January the 14th, and it's at 9 till 2. And I think Keith had been to one a couple of years ago, and he really enjoyed it. And I thought about it last year, but they didn't have one last year. After I thought I'd looked at it and found out they didn't have it. But it's not too far from me, but I think Keith and another guy, they carpooled down there, and hopefully if the gas prices ain't too high, can I always get a group up and go? Because it's interesting. I don't think to charge a nickel to get in either.
Me and KI4DTY, Daniel, we've been talking about getting together and going down to the Atlanta Ham Fest in June and trying to convince Chad to come along with us.
You see that one a lot. I haven't been in several years. I've kind of been out of it the last 3 years, all the other stuff going on. But I mean, a lot of them haven't been active either. They also have the Stone Mountain Ham Fest just in November, which is just down the road at the fairgrounds too. And I think Lawrenceville is right there at the same area. They usually have a ham fest, but I don't know. If they have one this year or not, I'm not sure what they're going to do with that. But there's a bunch of smaller ham fests in the area that are worth going to because it's just not crowded and you can see what you want to see in a few hours or without spending, not like Shelby, but we gotta walk 10 miles to see everything.
Small ones, and you might stumble across something that you've been looking for that isn't at one of the other ones too because it's the smaller one, so yeah. But I was going to tell you, I've been trying to remember to tell you that I found two of the Kenwood D-74s on Craigslist. They were, I think, a year old, and he's wanting $1,200 for both of them with all the accessories he's got for them.
As a matter of fact, mine went on Craigslist. I just sold mine, and I didn't get what I didn't ask a lot for it. I had more than that in it, but I hadn't been fooling away PRS enough to more keeping them. I'm trying to pare down. Yeah, I really only got a couple of radios. I'm trying to pare down what I got and just keep the stuff I use and let somebody else enjoy it. But I got. I think I sold all my accessories. I don't have anything else, I don't think. But I do have if you decide to get one, I do have an SMA to 239 adapter that I probably won't be using. I don't want you to mention something like that. I'd just send it to you if you decide to go that way. That's what I use on this 205, just a BNC to 239.
I won't spend that money on a radio. On an HT, I don't know yet. I'm trying to decide which way I want to go with that.
You got the Rolls Royce anyway, the 710 GA. That's probably the best. Dual band. That's got everything on it. It's easy to do APRS with for the ISS and the other stuff too. It's got plenty of power and. You just kind of handicap yourself for that, and I think they're better served. That mobile Kenwood is probably one of the best radios I've ever used. It's just easy to use. You can see this play well, and it's remotable, and they got them on board. They got three or four of them, aboard the space station, so they must be pretty damn good.
Up there, they got to be doing something right, and I've got the little Kenwood THF6 also that I could use it as my HT. The only thing it doesn't have is APRS, and it's a little cumbersome to use because it's so small, just like Dave was saying earlier.
That's one of the best radios Kenwood ever built, to be honest with you. And a lot of people use those things. They use those for satellite too. They just hook them up to an air and use them. Seen a lot of people use those things because they're full duplex, I believe. Am I right?
My understanding and my research, they are full duplex.
Then all you need is to get you either build you one or get you something like an air antenna and go at it. And same thing with that D710. You got that vertical sitting up there. You could use that. You'd be able to hit the ISS about any time you want to with 25 watts. You may not hit them at a low angle, but you could hit them when they're up above 25 or 30 degrees.
I know absolutely nothing about satellite work, so I haven't even read on it, nothing. I've been so occupied with everything else.
Put that on your list for later on, I'll help you. I'll walk you through it. It's not as complicated as everybody makes it out to be, but the radio settings are just easy to find, just knowing when it's coming over and that sort of thing. That's real easy to find with an app.
I get to that point, I'll definitely hit you up for some information on how to do it anyway. But, Jerry, I'm going to hop out of here for now and eat and get me some lunch. Y'all talking about the Lost Cajun made me hungry, so I'm going to find me something to eat, and then I got a few odds and ends I need to try to do around the house, and then I get to go vote early this afternoon, so get that out of the way.
Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you later. N4DJC, clear.
KO4HG, clear.
N4WWZ, mobile, KXKO4WWZ.
HGX,
Hey, Chandler.
Good afternoon, Texas. Are you working today?
At home, today is my office day.
Dope. I just wanted to give you a quick shout. I just got off the good day, and I heard you talking on the hand to talk to you on the station.
I'll be around later today. Right now I'm going to try to find me something to eat, Chandler. So I'm going to hop out and see if I can't take care of that. So I'm going to say 7-3. You have a good afternoon, and I'll talk to you later. KO4HK, clear.
WJW's house down here at the Silver Lake Edition, I think is what they call it. As soon as I see the sign built. And let's see what it says here. Silver Ridge. And headed for home. We went to Aldi's and then I did a dry run. I got to go get a shot in my back on Monday. And I wanted to see which one of those buildings it was in down there at that Pelham or Patewood Complex. What's that road we went down? Bernice? Edwards Mill Road or whatever, down there to it. And I went inside and checked with the lady and found out exactly where I was supposed to be. I'm usually confused at my age, Bill. Why do you get to be as old as I am?
I get to be that old. Well, it's not like you got things to do. I hope the shot helps you. I just left the dump entry. And I didn't have a whole lot, but I had enough. Try to recycle plastics and cardboard. Between all the stuff we get on Chewy and Amazon, we get a lot of cardboard. So I try to recycle it. Do my little bit. Of course, they probably just take that and throw it in the dump with everything else. I don't know. But right now, we're headed to Jax, and Toby, who's with me, is going to get his favorite meal, and that is a hamburger.
A cream place down there at Simpsonville?
No, we're going to get a hamburger.
Well, I don't know where that's at, but... we're going to unload groceries, and I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. Bob told me to unroll that wire and get it straightened out before I try to put it in. And then ordered some wire from HRO, some LMR 400. And that should be here today. And Bernice got some geraniums this morning, so I think that's what she's going to be doing is out there planting.
Try and do whatever work you got to do. Jax. Jax is a hamburger place. And this is over at, it's just like McDonald's or Hardee's or anything like that. I like their hamburgers. And the best thing they got is their french fries. Oh, I'm not french fries, but onion rings. Oh my gosh, they are so good. They use Betine crust on them. They're really good. But anyway, Toby loves to go riding because he always knows he gets a treat. He's a spoiled dog. But this is over in Five Fort. So right across from the public store at Five Fort.
Box, is that what it is?
Yeah, Jack in the Box. Most people just call it Jack.
I don't recall. We used to go down to one in, it was Duncan, but it closed. And we'd pick up and take the grandkids down there. Or we'd pick them up from the son-in-law when he worked down in there. Well, you've never ate real onion rings until you eat Bernice's. I'm telling you, my neighbor would kill for Bernice's onion rings. She dips them in three different things, and they're real crispy and nice, and they're not those big fat ones with the crust on them, like most places have. But I have no doubt those are good, but I would say Bernice's are supreme.
But I'm sure you're probably right. But the batter on these onion rings is not real thick at all. It's not to coat it, but it's nice and crisp. Over.
That sounds awful good. She just made onion rings the other day. It makes a pretty good mess. But hamburger and onion rings, oh, man. And she makes a mean hamburger, too.
Hi, Bill.
Well, I'm pulling through the driveway. I'm here right now. Toby's going to get excited here in a minute. He probably already smells all this. I'll be back with you in a few minutes, in 4IQ.
Okay, Bill. We'll be home by then, I'm sure. We're crossing Lake Cunningham here now. So, you have a great day, and give old Toby a hug for us there. Love dogs. N4IQ and 0GR73.
Bernice, N4IQ.